Before we get into this show and my 58-year-old mind loses any room here on an already existing kind of tough thing to remember.
Happy birthday, Roy.
Thank you.
I was just thinking when I was your age, 26. Roy's 26 today. It's a Sunday. It's kind of beautiful here. I don't think it's supposed to rain anymore.
It's usually raining on my birthday, so even to walk outside is a good day. That's a good thing.
It was kind of in between, but I got to tell you, Roy, 26 was a great year. I was living in Greenville, North Carolina. I was working two or three jobs. I was basically just hanging out in a college town, doing whatever I wanted to do, which was pretty much a waste of a year. But I had a good-looking girlfriend. I had a lot of fun friends, and it was a great year. And I hope that in it. But of course, it took me four more years to quit drinking. And you know, I don't think you don't have a problem with that. I kind of had a problem with that, so I had to quit one day. But let me just tell you this:
my only problem is I don't have a beer with me right now.
Yeah,
that's,
you know,
that's
what?
My drinking problem.
Can I be honest with you?
Two hands, three beers.
You probably could start off your birthday with some champagne, not just beer. If I'd have known before I sat down today it was your birthday, I'd have brought you a bottle of Ripple.
Well, I didn't even go out last night.
And I would have cheered. You didn't go out?
I went to the DC United game.
Well, that's, you tweeted me from the United game.
Well, I didn't drink.
Well, Matt's ecstatic because he's a soccer guy. Tell him what happened at the game and give us a little summary of what happened with the United and the Dynamo.
Yeah, well, Jeff Cameron, who is a midfielder for the Houston Dynamo, he's the one who got us the tickets. And I guess he plays for the national team, the U.S. team.
Yeah.
And he's a midfielder there, and so he got us the tickets, and we went. And it was the first time I've ever been to RFK where it was not a football or baseball game. I've never been to RFK when it was not the RFK that I remember, and it's a lot different now, which is really weird. You know,
have they put any money into it at all?
None.
What side were you?
I was on the Dynamo side.
Now, were you lower level? Were you lower level, or were you in the 400 level? Which in that stadium, for those of you who've never been to RFK Stadium, which was originally called DC Stadium, and when Robert Kennedy was assassinated, like the next year they changed it to RFK Stadium. It's a tiny place. It's a bandbox. The Redskins used to win championships there because it was so loud. It was that. Oh my God! That's a reminder. It's Roy's birthday. Happy birthday, Roy. Roy's 26.
But no, I was on
okay,
the,
Roy.
I was
it's the, your birthday. I get it.
I was on the Dynamo side because that's where he got us the tickets from. But the DC United side was crazy. I mean, they were jumping up and down. RFK rocks.
Let me tell you something.
When you're jumping up and down, everything moves.
When you can get excited in a soccer game, you're a good fan.
It
because
was really
I played
cool.
soccer forever, and I'm going to tell you right now, not a ton of exciting things happen except good sliding tackles, which they don't really let you do because they'll give you a red card if you make a good play sometimes, don't they? Oh, they'll let you wipe some guy out?
There was a fight. On the field, no, there was like two yellow cards were given. And
a fight? Was it really a fight? Or was it kind of a girl fight?
It was a scrum.
Was it a soccer
I'd
kind
call
of fight?
It a scrum. And I mean, I saw four goals scored in the second half. That was pretty cool. It was like going back and forth. And there was the Barra, I guess.
Barra Brava. Vamos United.
Yeah, and they throw their beer up every time there's this goal. And
you gotta love that.
They let off smoke bombs. I don't know how they get smoke bombs in the stadium, but three of them got lit off.
Now, let me ask you a question. This is the Houston MLS team and the Washington MLS team.
Yeah.
Who are these other people you're talking about? These are guys. Do all these guys play on another team? Usually, like for their country or something.
No, they're like club, like hooligans. They're groups of hooligans.
Oh, they're like hoolies. These are the guys they talk about in England. Just start fights and get crazy.
Not in DC.
There was no. Well, there
well
was
in
one,
DC, the jail's right across the street. Don't put them under that.
There was one fight in the stands, and the guy got arrested out of bloody face. I don't know if it had anything to do with Barra Brava or the Screaming Eagles or any of that. But the guy.
So who won the game?
DC United won. It was 3-2.
And what
was
the score? 3-2?
3-2.
Now, were there any penalty kicks, or was it all? Did they all earn their way?
It was actually really. I mean, I'm not a soccer fan. I went because the guy Jeff Cameron got me tickets, and I went with a couple of my buddies. But it was cool, man. I mean, there was a lot of good goals scored actually, and the DC United has. I guess he was MVP of the league last year. It was a De Rosa.
Matt, who's the New York team? Who's the New York MLS
Red
team?
Bulls.
They're not the Cosmos anymore. That was like 30 years ago, right? They had Fran Beckenbauer.
The
you know Fran Beckenbauer? You know, I bet you don't even know who Fran Beckenbauer is. The Cosmos. He was the West German captain, and he was the best player in the world. He and Pelé were basically known as the two best players in the world back in the 70s.
It's the New York Red Bulls. I know that just because
the New York Red Bulls. What a great sponsor!
It's a ridiculous
so these
name.
Guys are flying around the damn field, and they're either scoring goals or they're passing out because they're like hearts are beating 200 beats a minute.
Metro Stars? I don't know if that's worse.
Unbelievable.
The Red Bulls is like, who? What? Wait.
Well, listen, let's tell the folks what we're going to talk about. You know, we're going to have this.
We've got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we do. Listen, if you're a sports fan, this week you're out of breath. Because, you know, Thursday was the first round of the NFL draft. It was phenomenal. And I got to tell you something. Twitter is a one. You can follow me on Twitter at Bruce All Sports. You can follow Roy at Sports Man Cave. On Thursday evening, I was talking to guys like Clark Judge. I was talking to guys like Peter King. I would via Twitter, because if you can type fast, your stuff goes out quickly, and they'll comment on the first things they see usually. Evidently, Paul Allen of the Seattle Seahawks, I guess he's the Microsoft guy. He's worth billions or something. He snuck a computer in, and we weren't supposed to have a computer in there. I would say, Roy, wouldn't you say we were almost a good 3 minutes ahead of ESPN? In other words, I knew who was going to get picked early, so I would send it out to all my people. All my people are going, how do you know this?
It was,
and
I go, trust me, I know this too, because not only were we getting things from those Twitter handles, but we were also getting other insider Twitter handles. And that we're getting, sending us messages. So we're getting, like, picks that aren't actually picks. So, like,
yeah,
oh,
like
this person is taking this person. And then they'll trade back. And you're like, oh, God, okay, well, disregard my last tweet because that's not actually happening now because they're trading back. And there was a lot of trades. It was a crazy day, man.
There were four swaps in the first six picks. Yeah. I mean, it was an incredible – it really set a record. But I got to talk about one thing that's really bothered me, Roy, because you know I'm a coach. And, you know, when this stuff happened with Sandusky, and I don't mean to bring up his name, but when this stuff happened with Sandusky, you know, about how weird this guy was at Penn State and the little kids and everything, what's with the hugs, you know, Commissioner Goodell? I mean, it's okay to – how about a handshake once in a while or just a slap on the back? He hugged 32 guys almost intimately. I mean, wouldn't you say?
They were
I was getting a little weird because when they'd break hugs – there just wasn't that 6-inch, you know.
Well, there was that
space between faces there, and that was bothering me a little bit.
I mean,
I don't think I'm homophobic. I'm not. I have gay friends, but that was just to me. It looked like, you know, maybe that's not what we want to do. He must have smelled like so many different types of cologne at the end of that night. He must have. I mean, that would have been a very interesting odor right there. Wouldn't you agree? 32. You know, all those guys are wearing cologne. You know, some of them are wearing too much cologne, right? Some of them are wearing just the right amount. Some of them are probably not wearing enough. But I got to tell you, the commissioner smelled every scent that night. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. And Roy and I decided earlier today. Oh, my God, that picture.
That's
who
what
is
I was
that?
Talking about.
Oh, Jesus.
This is the dude, the guy that got drafted by Kansas City.
Is he open mouth or did he at least close his mouth
and
when
they
he kissed
like,
him?
They like Eskimo kiss.
Oh, Jesus.
It's kind of cute.
Anyway, I'm
I get the hug. It's not really a hug. It's part of the handshake. You know, like that's the new thing. You know, like slap hands, and then you do the half hug. But these
go. He's doing the handshake thing. Some of these guys went over that. At least he didn't call one of the guys a name that gorillas are call their head guy, because he did that the last draft or two. I don't know if you remember that, but he did. But anyway, I've decided, Roy. Look, you know, I've got time. I probably have one great job left in my life besides being a sports talk show host. Which I'll always do. I'll do that, you know, if it costs me money, which, you know, it can when you first start out. But I'm going to run for commissioner of the NFL. I mean, why should this guy be the commissioner of the NFL?
Should start that campaign.
Well, he's making over $11 million a year right now, and I hear he's going to ask for 20. Let me say this, NFL owners, NFL coaches and NFL fans. I've probably forgotten more about the NFL than this guy will ever know. Okay? And I'll work cheap. I will work for six figures. That's right. You heard it here first. I will save the league 19.1111111111. No, I'm sorry. 000001 million dollars a year. I will work for $999,999.
Is this your official start of the campaign? Should we start posting flyers?
Absolutely. Well, we're going to do it, and we're going to print some buttons. I'm going to send them out because this show goes out
during a presidential year. Hey, forget about the presidential election.
This show goes out in Connecticut, New Jersey, and New York. Where's a better place to start, Matt? Where's a better place for me to start campaigning?
North Dakota.
Than North Dakota? Oh, by the way, North Dakota had more. They had as many. North Dakota. It wasn't North Dakota,
there's
by the way. It was Montana. Montana had more draft picks than Florida State University and the University of Florida during the regular rounds.
The ACC is poo-poo.
Well, the ACC is poo-poo. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Roy, take us out of here. Oh, for the first time in generations, the dream of homeownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. We'll be right back.
We're back, New York. This is AM 1230 WFAS.
New Jersey, too. And by the way, I don't know, for all you Philly fans out there, I picked New Jersey to win today. I'm not allowed to do that in the mic, but I do have a little device here that works quite well. Hey, by the way, this song that just came on, Boston, 1977, buddy. Who would have thought when that album came out that they would be playing almost every song off that album today, the year 2012, all the time? Anyway, I did. We may have a guy come on here shortly who's the beat writer for the Arizona Cardinals. He's a great guy. His name is Jess Rude. He may come on later. We're going to talk about baseball first. Bryce Harper, was on the cover of Sports Illustrated 3 years ago when he was 16 years old. He was already hitting with a wooden bat in high school. He was hitting 500-foot bombs in high school. He actually quit high school, got his GED, mm-hmm. and went to junior college, Las Vegas Community College, when he was 17.
17, yeah.
Set every record possible in that community college, league out there, led the nation in home runs, led the nation in runs scored, was clocked at 98 miles an hour with his arm off the mound and from the outfield, was a catcher at that time. We're talking about a kid that was 6'2", 205 pounds, solid muscle. Dad was an iron worker in Las Vegas. He's an iron worker. He used to swing a 23-pound rebar, which, if you know what rebar is, it's a big, long piece of iron that you can fit your hands around and swing, and he swings that probably as hard as most people swing a bat. So it's not surprising when this kid ended up just being a phenomenal baseball player. Religiously, he and his family are Mormons. He's a very hardworking kid. He blew a kiss to some guy in AA last year
and they were
throwing it all of his teammates. They were throwing it at him. They were talking smack to him. And of course, what got talked about nationwide was how arrogant this kid is. Let me tell you something. This kid ain't arrogant. He ran out a ground ball back to the pitcher last night.
Sprinted it out
as fast as he could. And really, it was the throw only beat him by a step. And it was a ground ball back to the pitcher right to him. He hustled the entire way. He set an example for the kids in the Washington, D.C. area and all across the country that saw that. Every father that has their son playing baseball should keep that, because it won't be the last time this kid hustles. He can fly, too. He runs like a 6'3", 60. Bryce Harper's going to be around for a long time. Well, anyway, he got the start last night because, number one, the Nationals, even though they started out 14-4, Roy, mm-hmm. you know, they're like a MASH unit. You know, Michael Morse is still not in, you know, in rehab assignment. He was their leading, you know, power hitter last year. Mm-hmm. Ryan Zimmerman just went down for 15 days with a shoulder injury from diving all over the field making these great plays. He's their best hitter. I mean, he's always been their best hitter. And, you know, everybody else has not been having a great season so far. The only guys that have
Adam
come
Roach
out pretty
is
good.
Having an
Jason,
okay,
well, Jason Worth's having a decent start compared to last year. Anything's better than what he was doing. But they brought Harper up. And he started in left field last night mm-hmm. in L.A., and it was a playoff atmosphere.
Oh, yeah. Sold out.
Oh, it was unbelievable. I mean, it was probably the equivalent. Every time this kid shows up for a game, he's going to sell more tickets.
It didn't hurt that Strasburg was pitching, too.
No, Steven Strasburg, who, and by the way, all you people that keep sending me tweets about Strasburg will win the Cy Young Award, it'll be impossible for him to win the award because they're going to shut him down after 160 pitches this year.
They are going to shut him down.
And you can't win the award when they shut you down after 160 innings. You're right. If he throws 160 pitches, they'll shut the pitching coach down.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is that this team has been playing extremely well. They lead the entire major leagues in earned run average. I was under their starters had an ERA under 2 for a while.
The pitching staff's looking good.
I mean, they're going to be real good, but this kid is for real, and I'm telling you right now. Last night, he drove in. You know, somebody hit a bomb. It was the first baseman.
Adam LaRoche,
who LaRoche is carrying him right now. He's hitting like 348. He was out all year last year with a bad shoulder. He had a drive down the line in right field to put him ahead 1-0. Okay? Mm-hmm. And then the next batter, they throw kind of a three location, which is belt high outside corner fastball to Harper. He stays inside, short little swing. The ball got to the bottom of the wall in center field in like a half a second.
He wanted to go three.
He wanted to go three, but there were two outs. If there had been one out, I bet he would have tried. But with two outs, he stopped at second base, and he didn't. Did he score that inning? I think he did. We scored two more runs. We did. And then
Ramos. Yeah,
then
Ramos doubled.
Then the Dodgers tied it up in the bottom of the ninth inning when they brought Rodriguez in, who was throwing 101 miles an hour, had a little too much movement on his two-seamer, probably should have stayed with his three-seamer. He struck out D. Gordon, which would have been the last out of the game. But the catcher,
Ramos dropped the ball.
Wilson Ramos, it hit his glove and went to the backstop.
Ramos couldn't catch last night.
Well, Ramos was a little banged up, too. He got hurt in that collision at home plate, too. But anyway, you're listening to Bruce Hall's second opinion.
Well, Harper had a cannon from left.
Well, he throws 98 from the outfield. Yeah. So, you know, yeah, there was a base hit into left field.
I was very impressed.
This would have been the go-ahead run at the time because it was 0-0. Mm-hmm. And he let a ball go in medium left field that was a strike at home plate. Ramos had the ball. Somehow Ramos got the ball knocked out of his hands when he reached over to tag.
Yeah.
The base runner, who's the guy that took Posey's leg out last week, Hairston is on a very short list of guys that are going to end up getting beaned this year. Because this guy has already made enemies, and he just made more enemies last night. But you know what he did? Once he slid it home, he knocked the ball away. And Davey Johnson ran out, and they got four umpires, and nobody saw it. I mean, that's the thing about Major League Baseball. It's all fraternity. Nobody will turn on anybody else. No umpire will upstage another umpire. So why have four of them? Let them have two like high school ball. Because you know what? They can screw up just as good with two umpires as they can with four. I'm Bruce Hall, and I'm telling you the truth. I'm a baseball coach. That's just what happens. Roy, let me ask you this. Let's talk about some other – let's talk about all the divisions real quick.
All right.
Let's start with – one of our favorite divisions, which is going to be the East, where the Yankees are. You know, Tampa Bay, the Yankees, there's like three or four teams. Baltimore is in first place. Roy, talk to me about Baltimore.
Yeah, Baltimore's not going to be there.
No, I know, but they're what are they, 13-8 right now?
They're looking good. And but they're a makeshift team of a lot of veterans and young pitching. I mean, Nick Johnson's on this team, who Yankee fans know very well.
Yeah, but you got to understand something. Nick Johnson, when he was in Washington, was one of the best players we had. But listen to me. You got to understand something about Nick Johnson. Nick Johnson was never the same after Austin Kearns shattered his femur when he ran into him at the end of one season. He didn't even play the next season. He was like Tony Conigliera when he got beaned. Nick wasn't a speed demon to begin with. Never got his speed back. Never got his swing back. But you know what? It says something at the guys in the major leagues now. I'll tell you this. His pension's going up. That's for sure. let's talk about the Yankees for a second. They lost to Detroit at home yesterday.
7-5. And the final score says 7-5. But the Yanks got three in the bottom of the ninth. That's to really kind of close the gap.
Yeah, the game was over pretty early. Yeah. Detroit scored six runs in the first two innings. You know, I mean, they're going to – look, that was – Freddie Garcia started. He went an inning and two-thirds, gave up two walks, five hits, six earned runs. You're not going to get very far with pitching like that. Michael Pineda, this is the bigger story. The guy that they got from Seattle, he's out for the season. Now what are they going to do? He was their number two guy. He was their number two guy. The Yankees are not that deep. They're going to have to make a deal. Roy, they're going to have to make a deal soon because they can't really afford to let Tampa Bay get four, five, six games out in front of them. Tampa Bay's got a good ball club.
That's the real concern there. It's not so much the Orioles because everyone thinks the Orioles are to come back down to earth. They might not finish in the bottom of the basement. That might belong to Toronto. And if you know Boston,
no, you know what? Toronto's better than the Orioles, I think. Toronto won seven. Well, of course they beat Seattle.
Maybe.
How bad is Seattle? They're horrible.
Nobody really knows about Toronto, and just like I feel like nobody really knows about the Orioles, although the Orioles have that history of starting off fast and then crumbling, and they really don't have any real standout talent, and the Boston clubhouse is a mess right now. There's all kinds of different.
Although they've won what, three in a row? I mean, you know, these guys. Yeah, their credit, they kind of circle the wagons. Bobby let up a bit, realized he made a mistake talking smack about his players who have been there a lot longer than him. And to their credit, and I'm sure you can hear it on the local airwaves because he's got a show in New York.
Yeah, well, he's on the Michael Kay show.
Is that on Monday? Is that
it's
a Monday
on
show?
Every day.
It's on every day?
But he's on, I think it's Wednesdays is when he's on.
Well, they were lucky to win Boston yesterday. Jake Peavy looked unbeatable. I was watching that game. You know, I took a nap about the fourth inning, and that's when Boston scored a run. That, you know, Boston ended up getting one run then. And I got to tell you, you know, Adam Dunn, what a moron. He could have walked home because he was on first base. He went on the pitch. The ball was hit into left field corner. The left fielder Cody Ross bobbled the ball and dropped it and had to run chase it. And Adam Dunn, the big fat slug, was standing on third base looking the other way. And his third base coach was waving him home for at least 5 or 6 seconds. And when it was over, the coach basically just looked at him and walked the other direction. Yeah, the guy's not hitting 156 this year, but this guy is not that good. Hey, give us a call, 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. Give us a call. We'd love to talk to you. Hey, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Roy, take us out of here, buddy.
On the other side, we're going to get into a player who is going to completely change the NBA playoffs. We're going to get into some NHL playoffs and a little bit of NFL draft. That's on the other side here on Bruce Hall's Second Opinion and 1230 WFAS. Back here on AM 1230 WFAS is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Roy G here with my buddy Bruce Hall.
We're going to finish up with the American League. Listen, you know what? There's really nothing to talk about in the American League yet except the Texas Rangers. On a scale of 1 to 10, they're a 10. Everybody else starts at a 7. You know, they're destroying people. They have the best they have the best pitching staff in baseball. They're crushing the baseball. They're scoring a lot of runs. And they're going to be there, mark my word, at the end of the season. You know, I picked the Yankees early on, and I pray, just for the New Yorkers who would love to see Derek Jeter get another ring, would love to see, if you like A-Rod, good for you. I'm not a big A-Rod fan. But if you like A-Rod, love to see him get another ring. Love to see, you know, that Fall Classic at Yankee Stadium in New York. It's just so much better when that happens. But, you know, the Yankees are probably a 6 right now. Texas is a 10. Everybody else is six and a half or under. I mean, wouldn't you agree?
That the AL East is
I mean, Tampa
is,
Bay is, maybe is a 7, maybe.
Well, Tampa Bay is the only other team that's really starting to peak in the AL. I mean, Detroit. You got to throw Detroit in there with Fielder.
Yeah, but now Detroit and Milwaukee are going to be the only two teams to come out of the Central anyway. And I don't think – I honestly think one of them, and it's probably Milwaukee, won't make it. I think Detroit has the better team because they got Justin Verlander. They even had a rookie pitch yesterday that pitched a great game. Yeah. First time he was in the – you know, up from the minor leagues. They're going to be good. The West – California Angels, all that money.
Yeah,
they just released the guy we talked about 3 or 4 weeks ago that was 40 years old that they picked up, you know, an outfielder. I mean, these guys are not going to be there when it's over. Mike Socha, every week he looks like he gains 10 pounds because there's no way in the world he's not eating all the time. He's so upset.
But the Angels and Detroit are both 3-7 in the last 10. They've both kind of hit a slump, it seems like. Pujols, I don't really know if the Angels have really gotten what they expected out of Pujols. I mean, he's ripping some doubles every now and then again, but I feel like there's so much pressure on Pujols to hit a home run every time he walks up to the plate.
Yeah.
That the rest of the team is kind of feeding off Pujols right now, and they're not getting much out of him.
Right.
They're kind of slumping. Detroit, I don't really know what's broken in Detroit, but I still think they're a very good baseball team.
You know who's been playing some good ball? Surprisingly, Cleveland. Maniacta. Yeah. I mean, for some reason, those guys always come out strong from spring training, mm-hmm. and then they just run out of gas and players towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
When they hit the hot days in summer, they're done. The Angels did beat Cleveland and got a decent pitching performance last night. And I got to tell you, you know, maybe that's what it takes.
Yeah.
They won 2-1.
Maybe that'll turn around the Angels.
You know,
maybe it's pitching.
Yeah, Danny Heron had a good game yesterday. He's 1-1. He's actually pitched decent. He's got an ERA of 3.34. They also brought Mike Trout back, who's their, you know, great outfielder that's been in the minor leagues. He's very similar to Bryce Harper. Only Trout's like 21 or 22. Bryce is 19. But they got 5 hits, but they made them count. Cleveland only got 4 hits last night. And you look at their team, I mean, they, you know, I just don't see them being able to hang either. Now, let's talk a little bit about the National League. Mm-hmm. In the National League, nobody is going to contend with St. Louis. I think it's easy to see. They're already 5 games out in front. You know, the St. Louis Cardinals, they lost Albert Pujols, right? They lost a couple of pitchers. They lost Tony La Russa,
yep.
Right? I mean, but all of a sudden, you look at them. I mean, they're 14-7,
yep.
Which is a phenomenal start. You know, they've got John Jay playing center field. He's only hitting .404. They got this kid Freeze at third base. He's hitting .343.
Freeze was the MVP arguably of the playoffs last season.
Well, you know what? He was
of their team.
And Beltran, you know, you know how I feel about Carlos Beltran. He won't even be there in 2 months. He'll be on the DL. He started out like gangbusters. He's hit some bombs, but he's down to .253 already, and he's probably running out of gas. Look who had the game yesterday. Yadi Molina hit a home run, 4-for-4. You know, they gave him $10 million a year about, you know, 3 weeks ago. You remember?
Yeah.
Why'd they give it to him? Because not only is he the best Molina, he may be one of the top 3 or 4 catchers in baseball.
All of the Molinas are very good catchers.
And they're all built the same. They
all look the
they're
same.
They're wide track.
Now,
Hottie, to his credit, doesn't have as bad a body as Benji and the other his other brother. But listen, you know, Loesch scored a run yesterday. I mean, this guy is unreal. I mean, he's 4-0. He's got an ERA of 1.62. He was the guy that used to dress up. He still does it. He's only going to do it once or twice when Tony's in the stadium this year. But he dressed up like Tony La Russa. If you remember, he put the sunglasses on and walked up and delivered the lineup cards at home plate. And he looked exactly like him. He acted just like him. He's just bigger than Tony. Tony's not a real big guy. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm Bruce. I'm talking to Roy Edwards about baseball. Give us a call. Listen, we're going to be talking about the NFL draft here in about 20 minutes. I want to give you a heads up. I want to know from all you people in the New York metropolitan area, who had the best draft? The Jets or the Giants? You know, you could make an argument for either one of them. I mean, neither one of them had a great draft, but in my I'll tell you what I think. Roy will tell you what we think when we get to it. But the number is 240-317-7294. Give us a call. 240-317-7294. You can also go to Matt, what is that? BruceHallSports@gmail.com. BruceHallSports.com. You can go to Facebook.com/BruceHallSports. You can go to BruceHallSports@gmail.com. Send us an email. Tell us what you think. Tell us who you are. Tell us where you're from. But give us a call. We want to get you on the air. 240-317-7294. Roy, why don't you take us? We're almost done. Last night there was a great game between San Francisco. Won a ball game last night, 2-1. Tim Lincecum, who's won two Cy Young awards in the
last. Big time, Timmy Jim.
Yeah, big time, Timmy. I have my own. I'm a big San Francisco fan. They won 2-1 last night. Timmy broke up a perfect game himself with an infield hit to short in the sixth inning.
Attaboy, Tim.
Yeah, you know what? I got to tell you something, man. This kid's an athlete. He knows when to run, too. He doesn't usually run very hard to first base. But when he hit that ball in the hole, he was hauling butt. Brandon Belt drove in both runs. They won the game on. Casilla came in, got the save. He is their guy now that Brian Wilson's gone. They kind of screwed around with a kind of closer by committee deal, but now it's going to be Casilla. His ERA is 1.17.
Well, the beard's out. So yeah, that's a tough hole to fill.
Well, they still got a beard. You know, they still got
a beard. Not the beard, though.
No, but Romo's got one hell of a beard. And it's the same
deal. Gnomes don't grow in it, though.
Hey, you know what, though? His is a natural black beard. I'm going to tell you what. You know,
yeah, Wilson
had somebody working on that beard 4 hours a day. There's no doubt in my mind. There's no doubt in my mind. But let's talk about the National League a little bit. In the East, you know, our Nationals have lost three in a row, but they're still in first place.
Yeah, in this series, I thought the Nationals would take this series from the Dodgers. I didn't think the Dodgers were really for
real.
Well,
you know what? Let me tell you.
And they should have won last night, well, but Matt Kemp showed why he is the early MVP favorite. I mean, that guy is on fire.
Well, he is the MVP right now. It's his to lose right now. And if the Dodgers stay in first place in the West, you know, for any length of time, he's going to get enough MVP votes if he hits 330 or better and hits 30 home runs or more and drives in over 100 runs, he's going to win it. The thing that I didn't like about the game last night, you know, I really didn't like the fact, I mean, you know, the Nats had the game won. All they had to do was catch the ball, and it didn't work. Now, the pitch right before Matt Kemp went yard was a strike. It was a changeup right there on the white outside corner. Not only did he strike Matt Kemp out, he also struck out the umpire because the umpire it went right by him. Next pitch, ball game. And that's the way baseball is. You never know. All it takes is a good call, a bad call, and it can turn the game around.
Yeah, I mean, the umpires, they had a rough game all around. I mean, there was a lot of questionable calls, check swings, dropped third strikes. There was a guy who ran on the field.
Some guy, well, you know what? That guy basically was the difference in the game because that seemed to disrupt kind of the timing and the fluidity.
It was behind the ninth.
Yeah, it was. I mean, if you're going to do it, that's the time to do it. They probably gave the guy a medal when it was over. It is L.A.
But, I mean, the Dodgers are hot right now. I don't want to take anything too much away from the Dodgers.
No. Pittsburgh's been playing pretty well. They've got some great pitching. Atlanta got beat by Pittsburgh last night, 4-2. The Mets beat Colorado. Like we already talked about, San Francisco 2-1. Miami beat Arizona 3-2. Always glad to see Arizona lose.
I don't like Miami. I hope Miami ends up in the basement. So that's not a glad thing. It's not a good thing for me. I'm not glad about Miami winning.
You know, I wish I was. I wish I was in Larchmont, New York right now, because at noon I'd slide down to see Eddie at Augie's. I'm starving. I need some pasta big time. Eddie, send me some good food from Augie's Italian Family Restaurant in Larchmont, New York. Roy, why don't you take us out here, buddy? We'll be back in a minute.
We're going to talk a little bit about the NFL draft coming up. Again, call us to let us know who you think had the best draft, best NFL draft. We're also going to talk to you. Thank you, Bruce. We're also going to talk to you about a player that is going to change the NBA playoffs and a little bit of NHL playoffs on the other side here on AM 1230 WFAS. Last dance with Mary Jane. One more time to kill the
fame. You get a shiver in the dark. It's raining in the park.
And we're back, New York, here on AM 1230 WFAS. Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. I'm going to get into a little bit of the NFL draft. Again, I'm going to tell you about a player who has affected the NBA playoffs. Going to get into a little bit of NHL playoffs in a little bit. But we're going to finish up on the MLB right here. And talk a little bit about the Yankees, the Mets.
Yeah, the Mets, they're hanging in there, but just barely. I don't know what went on. If you go to my Facebook page, facebook.com/Bruce Hall Sports, you'll see that I kind of wrote a little something up about the humidor that seems to be on the blink, because the other night balls were flying out of Colorado's ballpark. I mean, it was unbelievable. Like, the Mets lost 18-7 or 18-9. I mean, it was just one hell of a game. Went through all their pitchers. But yesterday they got a little bit of revenge. They beat them last night. Got a great game out of G. I mean, there's, you know, I like the Mets.
It's hard to tell about the Mets, you know.
Well, you know, they've been so banged up. You know, I mean, David Wright, he's been off and on the DL. You know, he's been, you know. David was never the kind of guy that would ever get injured, and now he seems to always be injured. But you know what? He's hitting 385. He went 3-for-4 yesterday, scored 2 runs, drove in 2 runs. Duda, their right fielder who can't play right field but knocks the crap out of the ball, 2-for-4. He had a bomb too. The two of them had 6 RBI in a 7-5 win over Colorado. In my opinion, isn't really going anywhere this year. They don't have enough pitching. But they got Marco Scudero, middle infielder that can hit, gets on base. They got arguably the best shortstop in the game, Troy Tulowitzki. They got Todd Helton, who's got to be 40, and he's still hitting, you know, at the major league level. They got a great trade, or signed a free agent contract with Michael Kadire, kid from Great Bridge, Virginia, right fielder. Michael's hitting 301, but then you look at their pitching staff, they're terrible. On the other hand, you look at what the Mets are doing. Pitching-wise, they're average at best. You know, their team ERA is a 4.31. You are not going to, absolutely not going to beat anybody in the National League if your ERA is 4.31, unless you score about 5.2 or 3 runs a game. And there's only been one team close to 5 runs a game over a period of a season in the National League lately, and that's been the Cincinnati Reds, and they've never won anything because their pitching sucks every year. Mm. So, I mean, in the National League, you got to be in the low threes to even compete. I happen to like the Mets. I happen to think that...
I mean, David Wright's hot right now.
Yeah, and David Wright's a great ball player, and he's, you know, they're adjusting to the new dimensions. I really don't think anybody made any changes. I really don't. I like what Terry's doing. Their manager doesn't get a lot of credit, but he did a great job last year with them, kind of taking all the heat for the players. And he also has done a great job this year of kind of fielding questions that aren't so nice. I mean, it's tough in the New York media because everybody wants an answer every minute of the day. And you got to provide time to do that. You really do. The team in the, you know, the, one of the teams in the East nobody ever talks about is Atlanta. But they've been to, what, 15 out of the last 16 playoffs? I mean, they have. When Bobby Cox was there, I want to say they went to 14 playoffs in a row. They won the East like 10 times in a row. They were the wild card a couple of times. And you know, this year, they're going to have to be contended with because they've still got excellent pitching. The one thing Atlanta is not doing, and by the way, Chipper Jones hit another bomb the other night. This guy, let me tell you something. He's locking up his Hall of Fame.
Chipper Jones was so old, he played on Super Nintendo. He played on regular Nintendo.
Yeah, but Chipper Jones also came up when he was
20. You play a regular Nintendo video game, and Chipper Jones is in the lineup.
Chipper Jones, Roy, played when he was 20, 21 years old. He was in the major leagues at a very early age. Do you know who else was? The other Jones brother, Andrew. They were both on the same team. It was A. Jones and C. Jones, and they couldn't be more different. Either of those guys. You got Miami. They beat Arizona yesterday. Miami's starting to play a little ball. Hanley Ramirez is arguably one of the top players in baseball. But if you look at what he's done this year, he's just now getting started, in my opinion. You know, he's only hitting .213. You know, the only guy that's actually hitting is Morrison, the left fielder. He's hitting .302. They got a journeyman right fielder named Dobbs that from the left side. He's hitting .300. You know, their pitching was supposed to be phenomenal. Right now, their pitching is pretty good. It's a 3.30 ERA. They're going to be decent. Arizona started out like gangbusters. Now they're coming back. They've had a couple of injuries. They're not going to be so great. Philly, Ryan Howard is about 3 weeks away, and so is Chase Utley. Both of them start their rehab assignments probably sometime this coming week.
And those guys are surviving solely off of pitching right now.
Yeah, they are, and they do have one of the best pitching staffs in baseball. Right now, the Phillies, as a matter of fact, I was on them yesterday. If you follow me and go to my – if you follow me on Twitter, at Bruce Hall Sports, or you – because I'm out there all the time. Or if you follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/Bruce Hall Sports, you'd have seen I was on Blanton for the win last night. They have a 2.94 ERA as a staff. That's good enough to win. The problem is with that staff, you can't have a batting average, team batting average of .251 with no power. And so far, that's what they've got. Look, besides Hunter Pence, you know, and Wigington, who's a journeyman guy from Baltimore, you remember Ty Wigington? Nobody's hitting. You know who's one of their best hitters? Lance Nix, who was a Nat last year, and a former Cincinnati journeyman outfielder. They have nothing. Carlos Ruiz will probably be their only, All-Star this year. Hunter Pence might make it. He might get added on. But Charlie's not picking the team this year. You know, it's going to be the Arizona Diamondback coach. And I'm going to tell you something right now. Gibby ain't picking no Philadelphia guys. That ain't going to happen. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm here with Roy Edwards, and we're having a lot of fun. We're about done with baseball. Also, the last 15 minutes of the show today, from about 11:45 on, I'm going to give you the best plays on the board in every sport today. So you got to be listening then. If you're a player, listen in 11:45 Eastern Daylight Time. You know, be listening to the show. I'm going to give you all my plays for today. Roy, do me a favor.
Yes,
you're the NBA guy, and I've been watching a lot of NBA basketball, but I made the mistake of watching the Knicks last night for about a half. It was over at halftime.
It was over before halftime.
I mean, what, they just didn't show up. Carmelo Anthony has played some of the best basketball that I've ever seen him play in the last 3 weeks. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. Well, there's a man who plays a much bigger role for the Knicks than people like to give him credit for, and that's Tyson Chandler. He's one of the best defensive men in defensive big men in the league. He can body up with a lot of people.
Did he get hurt or
he has the flu? And he almost didn't even play yesterday.
But don't you take like fluids and just get out on the floor and play?
No.
They just want him to come back strong, I guess.
The flu is a big deal. I don't even get out of bed when I have the flu.
Oh,
this guy got minutes, and people were giving him a hard time for not playing.
Really?
I mean, Michael Jordan set the bar so high when he played in the playoffs with the flu and killed it. Now everyone expects any professional player when they have the flu to go out and just act like that nothing's wrong and just, which is, I mean,
you know,
everything gets compared to Jordan. And when Tyson Chandler gets the flu and plays, he played.
You know what was good about last night's game, though, losing by 33? It only counts as one loss.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's the greatest thing about losing. If you're losing, just lose. You can't lose any better than losing 100-67.
Yeah, hopefully they got, you know, Miami got all of their scoring out in one game. But like I said, Tyson Chandler is a huge defensive presence for the New York Knicks.
You know, there's a big game on today. Boston's in Atlanta. That's almost a pick'em game. I love Boston in that game, but I haven't made my decision yet. You need to hang on the show for about another 45 minutes before I break that down. Now, yesterday, Oklahoma City, what was like 2 seconds left when your boy Kevin Durant hit that little jumper? How good is that guy?
He's so good.
He's unbelievable.
He's from my area. He grew up right in the same area that I went to.
You know, I wish I could have seen him play in high school. I don't even remember. I know he was a Montrose Christian for a while. You said he was somewhere else, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy is the best player in the NBA.
He's a beast.
You know, I'm sorry. You know, I know a lot of people think it's Kobe, and a lot of people think it's, you know, that guy on the Miami Heat. What's his name?
LBJ.
LeBron. But I got to tell you, yeah, but you know, you can't call anybody LBJ because if it's somebody over the age of 60, they'll just think the guy's a turd. I'm Bruce Hall.
Well, a lot of people think this LBJ is a turd, so I guess that's pretty fitting.
Hey, you know, there's some great games on TV, I'm telling you. That's going to be a big game. That's on TNT today at 1 o'clock. The Knicks probably have a shoot-around today. They're probably not even going to practice today, would you think?
I mean,
when you get beat that bad, I don't know, maybe he's got him out there running laps.
There's something that's got to go down.
Working. You know, Woodson, how good of a job has this guy done?
I mean, that was just embarrassing. But what, I mean, he has him playing good. He has him playing very good defensive basketball, which is why this surprised me so much. But when you have your defensive leader with the flu, who's not getting very many minutes, he didn't play. I think he recorded like 2 rebounds in the box score or something like that. Something ridiculous. Barely even got any minutes.
We're gonna get everybody's thoughts on this. Give us a call, 240-317-7294. That's 240-317-7294. I'm Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We'll be back in a minute.
About any trumpet playing band. It ain't what they call rock and roll. And the Sultans. Yeah, the Sultans that play Creole.
And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall, Second Opinion. I am Roy G. Here with my buddy Bruce.
We're going to talk about the NFL draft, which was, I mean, if you follow the NFL, which obviously we do, because in the fall, I mean, you know, we're 50% NFL or more.
Much more.
Basically, I was a handicapping guy before I became a talk show guy. And I love the NFL. I mean, you know, It's impossible not to love it, you know, except for the commissioner hugging and getting real close to kissing some of the guys.
Butterfly kissing.
I don't like that. But that's the only part of the NFL I don't like. And
is this slander on
no,
the commish so you can take his job?
Well,
is this an electoral strategy?
Listen, I am not going to put my face next to another guy's face unless I'm giving him mouth-to-mouth. And from what I understand now...
Well, maybe he was trying to give him mouth-to-mouth.
No, but there is no such thing as mouth-to-mouth anymore. You're supposed to use chest compressions only.
Yeah,
if somebody, that's true. And yeah. And I know because every year I have to get an update because I coach. And luckily for me, there's trainers around when people need chest compressions and mouth-to-mouth. I'm lucky. I think I've only pulled one kid out of a pool in my life. I'm Bruce Hall.
I train for the...
But weren't you a lifeguard?
I was a lifeguard for like 12 years.
I think your dad was a lifeguard too, and if he wasn't, he should have been because he gave mouth to mouth to several young ladies I used to know. This is Bruce Hall. And you're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I'm with Roy G. I'm also with Matt Lynch. here, my producer. We're going to talk about the Giants picks. We're going to go. What we're going to do is the NFC East first, then we're going to do the AFC East. We're going to go right through them. David Wilson was the Giants' first pick from Virginia Tech. This is a small kid. It's quick as hell. You know what I like about David Wilson? He kind of reminds me a little bit of Tiki Barber, only without the baggage, because Tiki turned out to be quite the not nice guy once he left the Giants. David Wilson's from Virginia Tech. I'll tell you what. I used to listen to Virginia Tech football on the radio when I'm in the car all the time. All I can remember is David Wilson left, David Wilson right, David Wilson out of the backfield. This kid will be a three-down back. He's not going to be a one-down back. And he's, but you got to understand, he'll probably start as a third-down back because they've got a pretty good kid out of Marshall. That's mm-hmm. their, Ahmad Bradshaw is a monster.
Yeah.
And if his foot is okay, Ahmad Bradshaw will rush for 1,300 yards next year. Brandon Jacobs, the guy that goes sideways and backwards, you don't have to worry about him anymore.
He's in San Francisco.
For some reason, he's in San Francisco. The only thing I can figure is they're going to use him as a blocking back, so he has to go forward. Seriously.
Well, they San Francisco needed another running back to go with Gore. Well, because Gore has a history problem, a history of getting hurt.
Right.
You know,
and he wasn't, and Gore was not that good in short yardage this year. Yeah. And when he was in goal line in the red zone, they actually took him out and brought the other kid in. It was pretty good.
They've gone through a bunch of different running backs out there. I mean, they had Coffee that one year who broke out when Gore got hurt. God knows what happened to him.
What's his name? Coffee?
Coffee, yeah. He doesn't play there anymore. If he does, he doesn't get any time. I don't really know what happened to Coffee after that year, and he had a good year.
You know, the Giants and the 49ers, and I'll go over this later because one of the beat writers and a good local guy in the Washington, D.C. area asked me yesterday who was my Super Bowl team in 2017, and I actually sat and figured it out. And I'll let you know who I think is going to be in the Super Bowl the next 4 or 5 years. But the Giants are going to be in good shape this year. In the second round, they took a kid from LSU that many felt had right on the – they had him as a first-round pick, Reuben Randall. This kid has got great speed. He's a good-sized kid, good hands, gets some separation. Look, if you played at LSU for 3 or 4 years, guess what? You played pro ball already because those kids – play at such a high level, a jump to the NFL is not that big of a jump. In the third round, they took a cornerback. The Giants did, also from Virginia Tech. Now, a lot of people are going, why all these Virginia Tech guys? Virginia Tech, especially on the defensive side of the ball, has a great defensive coordinator. And they have played, their special teams and their defense every year are top-notch. Jayron Hosley is the name of the kid. He's got some baggage because, well, he flunked the drug test at the combine. Mm-hmm. Not a good thing to do. He didn't seem to slide much because there weren't that many good corners in the draft. He is a good pick. The Giants are going to like him. They just got to be hunting. They got to look out for the bong. If you see him carrying a long cylindrical thing wrapped up in paper, check it out. In the fourth round, they took Adrian Robinson. He was a tight end out of Cincinnati. This guy supposedly is a decent pass receiver, but he's a big kid. In Cincinnati, they ran the football quite well. This guy's going to help him out. You know, they're trying to replace some guys they lost in the last couple years. Plus, they had two guys that were on injured reserve right at the end of the year. You know, mm-hmm. they lost two tight ends. In the fifth round, Brandon Mosley from Auburn. This is a tackle that I think, personally, the Redskins should have taken this guy. You know, they picked before New York. No, we'll talk about that later when we get to the Redskins. The other fourth round pick that they got in a trade down, they took, in the sixth round, they didn't have a fifth round pick. They took Matt McCants. I'm pretty sure that's Mario McCants' brother. Instead of going to the University of Alabama, this guy went to UAB. Now, that must mean that he's probably not quite the guy. But if you look at Alabama's guys that were drafted and what rounds they were, Alabama had the best recruiting class in the world probably 5 years ago and 4 years ago when it was the first year of their wonderful head coach. In the seventh round, they took a kid from NC State. I don't know that much about him. I know he's an ACC guy, and he must be a pretty good-sized kid. His name's Marcus Kuhn. The Giants were graded out as a B, and the guy that gave the grades on this one, I wish I had him for a high school a high school teacher because he didn't give a grade less than a C minus, because I would have given a couple of Fs. I personally think the Giants had a decent draft. I'll give them a B minus. Roy, how about you? What do you think?
It was a decent draft. I feel like they filled a lot of holes that they needed to really fix.
They really didn't need. There wasn't that much they had to do. I mean, these guys won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but let's not kid ourselves here. This was a team who was playing at last week of the season against the Cowboys to even make it to the playoffs.
No, I know.
So let's not kid ourselves here.
Everybody's
and really
close.
Think that these guys, you know, ran away with the NFC East. They got hot at the right time. They won the games that they needed to, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl. But they're not an automatic.
All right,
don't have to
given.
Fix anything.
That's a given. So you think they could have done a better job? Here's what I think. I think they're going to be okay. Who did they lose? Let's just talk about that for a second.
Well, they lost Mario Manningham.
Yeah, so they lost their number three receiver. Did they replace him? Possibly.
I don't know.
No, listen, Reuben Randall's a pretty good receiver. Did they replace their running back?
They replaced the running back.
Okay.
Maybe. Well, I mean, you gotta see what this guy does.
Right. David, have you ever seen David Wilson play? There's a reason he was the number one pick. This kid was a one or a two.
I mean, I've seen Virginia Tech play, but
do you remember seeing David Wilson play?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not as high.
I think he averaged over 6 yards a carry, if I'm not mistaken.
Virginia Tech had, they were a running back by committee team, and they played in a very weak ACC and didn't even win the ACC. Clemson won the ACC, and then Clemson got completely
blown out.
But Clemson beat this Virginia Tech football team twice.
Hey, listen, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. Hey, let's jump on the Eagles. We can probably get through them quick because I hate the Eagles, don't you?
Yeah.
I think they had a little better. I think they did a better job recruiting in the draft. Fletcher Cox showed up late in the draft somehow. He dropped all the way. They actually traded up to get him after being down. In Mississippi State defensive tackle. He's excellent. I don't like the next pick, Michael Kendricks. He's an inside linebacker from Cal. I don't like Pac-12 linebackers. They did get a good kid in Vinny Curry from Marshall, but Marshall's best player by far. We're going to be right back. This is Bruce Hall. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. Roy, take us out of here, buddy.
On the other side, we're going to get into more NFL draft, touch on a little bit of NHL hockey, and get your opinions on what you think about the draft here on AM 1230.
Happy birthday, Roy. Roy's 26 today.
Thank you.
We're going to sing him happy birthday later.
AM 1230 WFAS. Back here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're breaking down the NFL draft here. We're starting off in the NFC East, I should say. We just did the Giants. Going to get into the Jets later. We're on the Eagles right now.
Talking about the Eagles, you know, I was complaining about the Redskins. We're going to get to them later. But the Eagles picked up a quarterback at the end of the third round named Nick Foles out of Arizona. Now, the only thing I know about him is he's real tall, right? I mean, who's Nick Foles?
Yeah, he's 6'5", 240. I mean, he's a big frame, but he played for Arizona. Arizona didn't exactly have the best situation last season.
Right.
He went to Michigan State for a year. He transferred to Arizona. He redshirted in 2008.
So he's not as good as the kid from Michigan State, or he wouldn't have left.
He's a journeyman quarterback in college who ended up in Arizona. And I mean,
Andy's an offensive guy. He must have seen something he liked. So you know what? We'll write that off to Andy Reid. Andy Reid's starting to run out of excuses, though. Mm-hmm. You know, Andy is, look, the Eagles went to so many playoffs so many years in a row. They're always competitive. It's a great organization. It's got a good fan base. But if they don't do something this year, all of a sudden I'm going to start thinking maybe Andy needs to move into the general manager's office and hire a coach.
I mean, the Eagles needed a quarterback.
Right.
They did. I mean, I know that they have Michael Vick, but Michael Vick is yet to play 16 games in a season. for what a, I don't know if he's ever played 16 games in a season.
I don't think he ever has been healthy the entire season.
So you need somebody to fill in. You traded away Kevin Cobb. Vince Young couldn't get it done. So now you bring this guy in who, you know, he had a decent 2011 season. He threw for almost 3,200 yards. He had 20 touchdowns. He ranked first in the Pac-12 and fifth among all quarterbacks, averaging 352 yards a game of total offense.
Well, they liked something they saw, and he's probably a pro set guy, and he probably didn't take a lot of snaps from center. I think Arizona, they line their quarterback up behind center a lot because I think I saw him play some games this year.
You need a quarterback. Right. You need someone. He's obviously put up some impressive numbers throwing the football in total yards. So, I mean, you needed a quarterback and you got one.
All right, they got a great fourth round pick. I mean, this was an A plus. Brandon Boykin, a cornerback out of Georgia. This kid was like rated as high as two or three, and he was there at four. They took him and they needed him badly. I like this guy. I mean, I really do. I thought the Redskins should have drafted him in the third round, but they didn't take him. In the fifth round, they took a tackle out of Purdue. You know, how many tackles out of Purdue have played in the NFL? Several. This is a good kid, Dennis Kelly. He's not a real super big kid. He's got good feet, not such great arm length. He's going to be okay. They drafted a wide receiver, Marvin McNutt out of Iowa. Now, a lot of people like this kid. He's a special teams guy. He's got good speed, runs good routes. You know, the University of Iowa, they had a lot of success throwing the ball. Probably going to be a big special teams guy for the Eagles. Late in the sixth round, they got two sixth-round picks. They took Brandon Washington out of the U. Now, the University of Miami only had, I want to say, two players picked the entire draft. And nobody got picked till I think, the fifth or sixth round. Washington was one of them, and they took a Kansas State running back with their seventh pick, a guy named Bryce Brown. You know who another really good late-round running back pick was?
Who's that?
Larry Brown from the Washington Redskins in the early 1970s. Vince Lombardi picked him, found out that he couldn't hear, put a hearing aid in his helmet, and he was all pro like 4 years in a row. Now let's talk about the Dallas Cowboys. Because I'm sure there's just like everywhere, there's so many Cowboy fans everywhere. And listen, I do like the Cowboys because I happen to like Jerry Jones. No, I do. Listen, I've done business with Jerry Jones. He's a nice guy. He's a wonderful guy.
Oh, just a great guy.
Marilyn Love, his secretary, is a wonderful lady. Uh-huh. Her daughter is a wonderful person. Oh, yeah. And I can speak that way. Now, one of the reasons I also like Jerry.
You will not hear a single good thing out of my mouth about
it. It doesn't matter because I'm speaking for me. If you met him and you sat in his chair in his office, I think you'd like him too. Maybe. But let me just say this. The Cowboys had a great draft. And I hate to say it. They got to move up and take Mo Claiborne.
In the position where the Redskins were. That's pretty funny.
That's exactly right. Now, you think, and I think, at least I thought, that the safety was a better player, Barron. I love Barron. But Claiborne is a great cover guy that can return kicks.
I mean, I don't know if Barron is the better player, because Claiborne is a beast, and he played on LSU defense, which was one of the tops in the country. Now, the Alabama defense was not exactly a slouch either.
They had him rated exactly the same as what they said.
I like Claiborne. I like the fit there. I mean, Dallas needed a corner, so I think it's a good pick. I hate to say that Dallas made a good move here, but trading up to get Morris Claiborne was exactly what they needed, and they made a good move.
Now,
they
listen to this. I'm going to run a scenario at you. Mm-hmm. If the Redskins hadn't traded 8 million draft choices to get RG3 and kept Rex Grossman and John Beck and looked for a third guy in the draft late in the rounds, they'd have gotten a pick like that. And they'd have had a second, and they'd have had – didn't they lose a second and a third this year? Anyway, doesn't matter. They didn't have a second-round choice, the Cowboys, but they took this really good pass-rushing defensive end, Tyrone Crawford out of Boise State. He's a stud. A lot of people had Crawford rated in the second round. They also took this kid, Kyle Wilbur, from Wake Forest, a linebacker. He was Wake Forest's best player probably this year. He's a good ball player for an ACC player. He's a great player. They also got another fourth round pick, strong safety Matt Johnson out of Eastern Washington. When you take a guy from a school like Eastern Washington, he must have looked really good at the combine and looked really good in the East-West game, because There's no other reason you'd take a kid like that. He, you know, they need defensive backs, the Cowboys. They've been getting burned for the last 3 years in their defensive backfield.
Well, they got it. They got Claiborne. They signed Brandon Carr from the Baltimore Ravens to take the other cornerback position. They drafted all defensive players pretty much through the first four rounds. So, I mean, I hate to say it, but I like what the Cowboys are doing. They're building up their defense. They got Orion who's calling the shots. The Cowboys are going to be better this year. They're going to be much better.
Well, they got Danny Cole from Virginia Tech. Here's the third Virginia Tech player we're talking about in this draft. Danny Cole, a wide receiver out of Virginia Tech. You know, he's a slot guy, but they can use a slot guy. Look, if you got Tony Romo as your quarterback, you know he's going to put it up 30 times a game. So, you know, you want receivers, and this kid will play special teams too because he's a Virginia Tech Hokie. They all play special teams.
Yeah, the Beamer Ball.
Another Oklahoma kid, a tight end. Oklahoma has been famous for their tight ends over the years. James Hanna is his name. He's a tight end with their sixth-round pick. And they took another Montana kid, inside linebacker Caleb McSurdy. Now, Montana had some great players this year. I don't know how they're getting these kids in there, but they're evidently teaching them how to play football. But that the Cowboys were rated an A-. I'll never give the Cowboys an A. I'll give them a B. Roy, what are you giving them?
It's off okay. Season, off season it. Moves, I give them an A. Through the draft, I'm going to give them a B+. I think they addressed all of their needs that they needed on the defensive side of the ball. I would have liked to have seen a couple more offensive players get taken. I think they need a running back. They didn't address that. They had a rookie step in last year, set all kinds of records, but I didn't really think that he was a long-term fit. So B+, I like what they did on the defensive side of the ball.
So that you know what, in the East, when the Giants win the Super Bowl, everybody's got to do some work, and it looks like they have. Now the Redskins, this is a homer grade this guy gave him. I'm not going to give the Redskins better than a C because I'm a little harder on them. The only concern, the only problem that you have when you look at this draft is look what you had to give up to get the number two pick.
Mm-hmm.
You had to give up so much. But having said that, it wasn't a great draft, and almost all of the scouts, almost all of the, you know, the guys that I have a lot of respect for in the business that graded this draft said it was a very average ho-hum draft. Robert Griffin III is going to either make or break the Redskins.
Yeah,
we can say that.
Absolutely.
Their second pick was a number three round. It was a third round guy,
yep.
Josh Laribius.
Yep.
This guy is a piece of work. I like him. You know who he reminds me of? He reminds me of a big Jeff Bostic for all the old Redskin fans that liked him when they had the Hogs. Jeff Bostic was a little bitty center from Clemson that they beefed up to about 270. That probably his natural weight's 220. And I'm going to tell you, Laribius looks just like Bosco.
Well, this dude is 312 pounds.
Yeah, I know. And he weighed 372 about 6 months ago. Actually, that's not true. He weighed that about a year ago.
He's getting in better shape.
He sat out a year.
He's getting in better shape. And the thing about the Shanahan offense is that it's a zone scheme.
Right.
So the more bodies you get in there and teach them this scheme, if they're big athletic guys, you can teach them how to play. And the Redskins went after they brought in four offensive linemen. So if you're a Redskins fan, you have to like.
Well, this
that.
Is the only lineman I'm giving them credit for because they left two or three on the board that they could have had and they didn't get that are a lot better than the guys they picked. I like this kid. He's mean. He's tough. You know, he went to SMU.
Powerhouse.
I want to say June Jones is still there. I'm pretty sure he's the head coach there. They run a pro set offense anyway. They run the ball. It's basically run and shoot is what it is. They spread everybody out and they throw the ball. This guy's very athletic and evidently he likes, you know, he's just tough. I love that pick, especially in the third round. Now, here's the pick I hate.
Here's the pick everyone's giving him
Kirk Cousins, Michigan State quarterback, average arm, had a great Senior Bowl. Supposedly, Mike Shanahan fell in love with this guy. You know what I don't like about Shanahans? They think offense first, everybody else second. You know, this guy, at the very best, is only going to help them on the sideline with a clipboard, and he's going to help them doing drills, throwing to wide receivers during practice, and he's going to help them if RG3 gets injured. That's it. He's a fourth-round pick. They needed a defensive back. They needed offensive linemen. I mean, they could have used a linebacker. They take a guy that they could have had, in my opinion, as a free agent after the draft was over, or they could have picked up a guy. They could have picked him up in the seventh round. They were sky-high on some kid from UT Chattanooga that did not – I think he got drafted in the seventh round. You know, they didn't bother that. They took this kid in the fourth round. Every time I get to somebody that the Redskins could have had instead of Kirk Cousins, I'm going to point it out. Their other fourth-round pick was Keenan Robinson. Now, this kid's a pretty good player. He goes to the University of Texas. He's got real good speed. You know, he's good coming off the corner. I like that pick because what that does is that supports their front seven, which you've got to have backups for that front seven. That's their strength, wouldn't you agree, Roy?
Yeah, absolutely.
Of their team. It's their front seven on defense. The next guy they got in the fifth round is a guy from Iowa, a guard. Now, Geddes is good. Is he great? Probably not. Is he quick? Maybe. Is he big? He's a good-sized guy. Is he going to start? No. You know, they've got guys that played last year on that team that are coming back that are far better than this kid and may stay better. Now, I'm saying that now, but kids can develop. 22, 23, 24-year-old kids will develop with practice. In the sixth round, Roy, they took a running back from Florida Atlantic. Now, I remember this kid because wasn't Florida Atlantic the team that got in the big fight with South Florida? They did. And it was like a complete fist fight, and I remember this kid's name. He's a running back. His name's Alfred Morris. He's got to be decent or they wouldn't have taken him. He's probably a special teams guy. He's probably going to have a maybe 30% chance of making this ball club. Personally, I'd have taken an offensive lineman, another one. Or I would have taken a cornerback, which they could have gotten. There's plenty of them left. There's a tackle, Tom Compton, from Florida Atlantic. I'm sorry, from South Dakota. Now, a lot of people think this guy has a chance to make the team. I personally don't think so. Their cornerback, they drafted two corners in the seventh round. What are the chances of both of these guys making the team?
I think they have a pretty good shot. I mean, the corners on the Washington Redskins are getting older. I think these guys are athletic and they can step in.
They could replace both corners and I'd be fine.
If you expect these guys to walk on and make an immediate impact, then you have extreme high hopes for these guys. But making the team, that could happen.
All right, for the first time in generations, the dream of home ownership is being threatened. Realtors, members of the National Association of Realtors, are here to represent you and protect home ownership. I'm Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. If you're out there and looking for some food, you need to go to Larchmont, AugiesItalian.com. That's AugiesItalian.com. Order something to eat. Go pick it up. You'll have the best food you've ever eaten. Roy, take us out of here, buddy.
On the other side, we're going to get into more.
Roy, happy birthday, Roy.
Well, thank you. Thank
happy
you.
Birthday.
On the other side, we are going to get into more of the NFL draft. We're going to talk a little bit about the NHL playoffs and my Caps against your Rangers. I'm going to try not to act like a homer on that. This is AM 1230 WFAS. And we're back here on AM 1230 WFAS. This is Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. We're going over the NFL draft here.
Hey, real quick, this is a shout-out to Bo Jackson, one of the best athletes of all time. Linda Cohn on Twitter dropped this just a minute ago. He raised over $413,000, Bo Jackson did, for tornado victims by riding 300 miles on his bike across Alabama. Let me tell you something. If you ever get a chance to meet Bo Jackson, he's one of the greatest people you'll ever meet. He used to be very shy. He's gotten over that. He's really a great guy. If he had only played baseball, he might have been one of the greatest power hitters and greatest outfielders in the history of baseball. But he tried to play both, and he did play both at a very,
very
high
well.
level. But he injured his hip so badly, he had to have a hip replacement at age 27. And he was never the same in either sport, obviously. Couldn't play football anymore. Tried to play baseball. Played with an artificial hip in the major leagues for 2 years. How fast do you think this guy was if he could still run to first around the bases with an artificial hip? Anyway, let's go over the NFC North. The Chicago Bears, you know, I'm sorry. They didn't pick anybody I like. Their number one pick, Shea McClellan, in my opinion, was he was a second or third round guy. The best pick they got was a kid out of South Carolina, a wide receiver named Alshon Jeffrey. I watched this kid play a couple of times this year. This kid is a player. He will start on the Bears, and he's going to be just what Cutler's looking for because this kid can get separation. He's a kind of a long guy, and he can work in the slot. He can work from the X. He can work from the Z.
Let's not forget that they picked up Brandon Marshall in the offseason too.
Yeah, they did, and I'm going to tell you right now, their plans, you know, Forte still he hadn't signed his tender yet. So they don't know what's going on with Matt Forte yet. I don't think he'll sit out a year, so he better sign his damn tender before the deadline. Yeah, he's just not happy. The Detroit Lions, I gave the Bears a D. You know, they got a kid from Temple, a tight end, that's not going to help them. They got a guy, another Nevada player, sixth-round cornerback. Now, I'm going to tell you, He might not even make the team. He might actually start. His name's Isaiah Frey. I like him. The TCU guy, he ain't so good. Guy named Greg McCoy. The Detroit Lions, they got a kid named Riley Reiff out of Iowa. The best tackle in the draft in the first round. Mm-hmm. He's a stud. And I'm going to tell you, he went all the way to the 23rd pick. Ryan Broyles, a wide receiver out of Oklahoma. This kid's a stud. If you come out of Oklahoma and you're wide out, you know how to play football at the pro football level. The third round guy they got was a corner out of Louisiana Lafayette, Dwight Bentley. He was rated higher than a three-round draft. They also picked another Oklahoma kid, Ronnell Lewis, outside linebacker. They needed linebacker help. They need defensive help is what they need. They got a great defensive line, Detroit, but their linebackers and their corners used to give up a lot of yardage in the air. And that's going to help them right away. They got another kid from Temple, Tahir Whitehead, as an outside linebacker. Here's their third Oklahoma draft choice. Travis Lewis, another outside linebacker out of Oklahoma. Three Oklahoma draft picks. I'm going to give the Detroit Lions, I'm going to give them a C. It was an average draft for them. But Riley Reiff and Broyles, their one and two are phenomenal. The rest of them, average. Green Bay Packers, they had a good draft. They picked up Nick Perry, a defensive end out of USC that a lot of people wanted. And a lot of people didn't think he'd be around as late as they picked. They also picked up two twos. Jarrell Worthy out of Michigan State. He was one of the top-rated defensive tackles in the draft. And they got Casey Hayward, out of Vanderbilt, a defensive back in the second round. Not only is Casey Hayward probably a really good, he's a real smart kid too. He's going to Vanderbilt. I'm pretty sure I've seen a lot of information on this guy. He's going to help him a lot. I don't know this other kid, this defensive tackle. I'm not going to pretend like I do out of Iowa, but he went in the fourth round, so he's got to be able to play. And listen, if you get drafted by the Green Bay Packers and you're a defensive tackle, you can play. Because, you know, they have one of the best defensive coordinators in the world in Dom Capers. The fourth round, kid out of Maine. All I can say is he's got to be good. Because he plays at Maine. I mean, I don't think Maine – I thought Maine had a club football team. Sorry, Maine. At fifth round, Terrell Manning out of NC State. He's a decent outside linebacker, probably going to be a special teams guy. And, you know, they took the guy in this – they had two seventh-round picks. They took the first Florida State draft choice, seventh round, Roy. Because you're all over the ACC.
The ACC was terrible.
He was a tackle out of Florida State, and he may or may not make this team. B.J. Coleman they took, the kid out of Tennessee Chattanooga, that the Redskins were all – they did nothing but talk great about this kid at the East-West game or in the Senior Bowl when Shanahan was down there. They picked him up. Well, I kind of like the Packers with quarterbacks, don't you? They've done a pretty good job. So, obviously, we picked the wrong guy three rounds earlier. Minnesota Vikings, Roy.
I like what Minnesota
by the way, I'm going to give the Packers I'm going to give him a B.
Yeah.
That was a good draft. I like Nick Perry. I really like – I think this B.J. Coleman will be a really good backup. And I they just got some good kids, except for this main kid. This main kid better make the team. Minnesota Vikings. They ended up basically – they did the best job in the draft the first day.
Yeah,
they controlled the first six picks. What they did was they kind of – a lot of people think they pulled one over
on Cleveland.
On Cleveland.
Poor
Cleveland. But they didn't. But Cleveland was going to be there no matter what. Cleveland had to get their guy.
Yeah, but
but they did.
They gave up so much.
Yeah,
to move up one spot.
Yeah, but you
got
to understand.
Cleveland got scared.
Roy, it's Cleveland.
Exactly.
Hey, Cleveland's going nowhere anytime soon. Everybody in Cleveland will tell you that. But they got Matt Khalil, who was the guy that they wanted right away. They could have traded down one more time.
Yeah, you could.
And they would have still got a really good defensive back. They wouldn't have got the offensive lineman they wanted, because Khalil was the first offensive lineman for a long time.
I thought that the Rams were going to move up and grab that Minnesota pick and take Blackman because the Rams had so many picks, it really wouldn't have been nothing to move up.
The Vikings
and then
the
Jacksonville
Rams
pulled it.
The Vikings and the Rams, I thought, stole this draft.
Yeah.
I really do. You know, they ended up getting another first-round pick, free safety out of Notre Dame, that a lot of people liked and a lot of people didn't like. Harrison Smith, a lot of people didn't have him quite that high. Now, they didn't pick again till they got a good corner out of Central Florida, who they needed desperately, Josh Robinson. I'm just looking through here. They got a wide receiver out of Arkansas, Greg Childs, who's a pretty good ball player. They took Robert Blant in a corner out of Notre Dame. They got an NC State guy. You know, NC State, excuse me, had a lot more. They had a lot more picks than a lot of other better teams than NC State in the draft from the ACC. They got a kicker. They actually took this kicker out of Georgia, Blair Walsh, in the sixth round. Sorry, there's better kickers out there than a guy that's never been tested. And that's it. I'm going to give the Vikings, I'm going to give them a B minus. The only reason I'm giving them a B is because of what they did early to Cleveland. That was just worth giving them an extra an extra grade right there. Now let's go to the NFC South, Roy. Mm-hmm. We're getting close to home here. Atlanta Falcons. You know, they had a decent draft, but they didn't have a pick till the second round. But they ended up with a player with first round caliber talent. They got this kid, Peter Kahns, a center. He was the number one rated center out of Wisconsin. Wisconsin historically has had great offensive lines. They always have. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of big dairy-eating dudes up there that drink their milk and eat everything they possibly can get near. I'm pretty sure Peter Kahns is going to be a starting center for Atlanta. If he's not his rookie year, he will be in a year or two. They also got a really good third-round value in Lamar Holmes, this kid out of Southern Miss, a tackle. That's a good kid. They got another Wisconsin kid. You know, I like the way these scouts, when they settle in on a certain area or a certain school, they literally, they create such a camaraderie with a lot of scouts, I mean, with a lot of coaches and a lot of kids, that they end up just staying on that. But they got another kid, Brady Ewing, a fullback. Now, it's hard to find good fullbacks because these guys basically are concussion syndrome, you know, wannabes, I guess, because they're going to hit somebody every play with their helmet.
And the fullback position is kind of deteriorating across the NFL. You don't really see it as much. It's more of a blocking back now.
A lot of empty backfields. A lot of times what they'll do is they'll bring a fullback in, go with an I formation, and they'll run play action on first down. He won't even do anything except look like he's blocking.
Yeah, you can see this guy, he's probably going to play in a lot of third down situations. He's probably going to be more of a, like I said, a pass blocker in a passing situation, long distance.
And you know what? That's it. They got the Massasoit brother from Troy State in Alabama. Hey, listen, in about 2 minutes when we come back, I'm going to be giving you guys, we're going to go through the rest of the NFC South quickly and the NFC West quickly, and we're going to do it quickly because we're running out of time today. I mean, there's so much to talk about with the draft, but I'm also going to give you my plays for today. This is Bruce Hall. You're listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230. WFAS. I'm gonna take you on a trip so far from here. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Roy. Happy birthday. Happy freaking birthday, Roy. Roy's 26 today. He doesn't know it, but late tonight, I'm going to try to find him. I'm going to take him out and buy him the biggest beer I ever bought anybody. 26, I'd give anything. You know how much I'd give to be 26 again?
Would you give
nothing,
up,
man?
Would you give me your health insurance?
You know what?
Because I just lost it.
I probably wouldn't. Hey, Roy, I probably wouldn't live to be 58 if I had to do it over again. I was lucky to get here. Hey, I'm going to go over the Jets. I cannot forget the New York Jets. Because if I didn't do the Jets, I'd need to be shot here. Quinton Coples.
Love it.
Defensive end from North Carolina. You know, he comes off the corner. He's a great athlete. He loves his mama. He big time, and this was what it was all about. No, I mean, you know, Coples, you know, they went through a lot of crap at Carolina in the last 2 or 3 years. They lost the defensive coordinator. They were on probation. They were investigating him because he was at a party that somebody threw. He was under all this stuff, and he made it through it. The Jets, by the way, had a horrible draft. After Coples.
I like the Jets draft.
No, yeah, well, you know what? I'm just telling you. When you get past, there were three guys I'd take in that draft. The first two, Stephen Hill. He's got so much potential.
That's your boy.
Yeah, I liked him. But you know what? He never moved up. And wide receivers, if they're any good, Roy, they move up. He was a second-round pick by the Jets. I'm glad they took him because we're going to hear a lot about him. And we may see him on a Showtime special. And the other guy I really like was a kid from South Carolina that went all the way to the 7th round of the draft, Antonio Allen. He can play. This kid is a player. He's just not a big corner. I mean, he's not a big safety. I want to say he plays at like 190, and he plays strong safety. He's going to have to get a little bigger. He's got good speed. He's got some coverage skill problems, but that was a good pick. The rest of them, come on, Wake Forest, Arkansas State. Nobody from Baylor plays. You know, it was a running back from Baylor and a guard from Blair. It's the other Robert Griffin.
I was about to say, what's the center's name? What's his name?
He's a guard.
Robert Griffin.
He's a guard. And you know what? I have no idea how this kid went unnoticed with RG3 being a Robert Griffin too. All right, I'm going to give you guys some picks now. This is what all my friends all want to know every week. I'm going to go down the National League, Major League Baseball schedule. You got the Nationals at the Dodgers. I'm passing on this. Two great pitchers. No, excuse me. One great pitcher, one good pitcher. Gonzalez against Capuano. Both lefties. I want the Nats to win, but I don't bet with my heart. Diamondbacks at Miami. Josh Johnson. He's 0-2. You got a Diamondback that just got beat. You can probably take Josh Johnson. I guarantee you he's minus 160, minus 180. Take him anyway. Miami's going to probably win this game. Astros, Reds, pass. I hate both pitchers. I hate Latos. He's a jerk. Pirates at the Braves. Correa at Hudson. You know, Correa's the pitcher in this, but you can't bet on the Pirates on the road. That's just insanity. Cubs at the Phillies. Phillies are starting to play some ball. Pass. Kendrick with a 9.39 ERA. What's wrong with his arm, I ask? Brewers at the Cardinals. Greinke at Garcia. Greinke, I love. Garcia is the pick here. He's only minus 140. Take him. Garcia is a pick. Cardinals. Mets at the Rockies. 49-year-old Jamie Moyer at home. Have they taken the balls out of the humidor yet? That's the question. I pass. Santana, too good of a game to call. Padres at the Giants. Mad bum, buddy. Bet on bum. Richard's a good pitcher, but he's had a bad start. Bumgarner in a win here to take two in a row from the Padres. Take him. Bum is only minus 160 in this game. In the American League, the Athletics at the Orioles. Bartolo Colon has been the biggest surprise, I think, in the American League. Where'd he come from? He's gained 80 pounds and he's throwing strikes. Take the Athletics. He's getting. They're plus 120. Take them against the Orioles. The Orioles have already won enough games. Tigers at the Yankees. CC has to get even. Take him. Scherzer has been all over the place. Take the Yankees in this game. Angels at the Indians. Pass. Mariners at the Blue Jays. J.J. Vargas at Alvarez. Who cares? They both suck. Pass. Royals at the Twins. Marquis? 7.15 ERA. His arm is where it was 3 years ago, Roy. Mm-hmm. When he, remember when we sent him down like after 3 weeks of the season? And that's Chen. That's the Chen for Bruce Chen that was in Baltimore. He's a lefty pitcher. Pass. It's the Royals. Red Sox at the White Sox. Josh Beckett. This is for all you New Yorkers. The White Sox shouldn't have lost yesterday. They lost a 1-0 game, getting a great game out of Jake Peavy. Take Gavin Floyd in this game. He's got a 3.6 ERA, just pitched with some hard luck. He's 1-3. Take the White Sox today, and this isn't hard at all. Take Holland against David Price. Believe it or not, it's a pick game. Take the Rangers at home. They're just too damn good. Take the Rangers. Those are my picks. I'll tell you the other pick I've got today. The Boston Celtics are getting 1 point in Atlanta. Atlanta can't play with Boston in a series. Do you think? Boston's better. Take the Celtics. Take the Celtics and the point.
Yeah.
You know, for a mild play. And guess who I took in the hockey game? The hockey game that matters.
Don't tell me you took the Rangers.
The Rangers aren't playing today.
Yesterday.
No, I didn't take the Rangers yesterday. Good. No, I got beat yesterday in the hockey.
Today, the
Caps were plus 180. I had to take the Caps.
You're talking about the Flyers.
Yeah, I took New Jersey. I took New Jersey just because. Just because it's a good game for them to win. It'll be one of two games New Jersey wins in this playoff series. They'll win this one. Then they won't win another one till the fifth game. I'm Bruce Hall. That's listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion. I had a good feeling about that. You know what? What did I say about the Caps? They were going to win their first series and lose their second series.
I got the Caps winning this series, New York.
Yeah, but you're a homie. Oh, I'm sorry, a homer. Homies are guys that like rap, right?
Oh, man.
Is that a homie? I have no idea. I'm 58, and I don't know what a homie is.
I think what you can expect out of this... I'm just going to ignore
go
that.
Go ahead. It's your birthday.
What you can expect out of this New York Capitals series is exactly what you saw in the first game. Not that the Rangers won yet.
What,
the Rangers
boring
won.
First two periods?
If you didn't like that game, if you didn't like people getting laid out and good defensive hockey, then you're not going to like this series.
I got news for you. I haven't seen good defensive hockey since Rod Langway, Scott Stevens, and Kevin Hatcher played for the Caps. These guys don't hit anymore, Roy.
Oh, my God.
Remember when
you didn't watch this game.
Roy and I went and saw Game 6,
We did see Game 6
at the Caps. If you follow us on Twitter, you know, because we were all over Twitter that day from the stands. Roy, tell everybody when I left. How many minutes were left? 10 minutes left.
It was like 8 minutes left.
I hate traffic, and I was parked on the third floor downstairs in the parking garage. I got out, and as soon as I left, what happened? Caps lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no!
You know, but I got to tell you something. That was, you know, that was the game. That was the next day game. And you know what? They should never do that because both teams were flat. There wasn't a lot of speed on the ice. There wasn't any hitting. Wouldn't you agree? There was no hitting. Nobody was controlling the puck. I thought what I saw in that game was I saw that team skating much better than the Caps did. They were just much better. They were quicker to the puck. They handled the puck. You know, we were lucky to win that series. How we won that series, I have no idea.
I wouldn't call it luck. I'd call it good defensive hockey.
Well, you know,
the same defensive hockey that you used to see back in the day because boarding's illegal now. So a lot of people are being more cautious around the boards when you are going in for those big hits. But if you watch this Capitals-Rangers game yesterday, there were a ton of hits. And these two teams, the Rangers and the Caps, are the number one team and the number two team in blocked shots in the playoffs.
I started watching at the end of the second period when the Caps tied it up with less than a minute left. Mm-hmm. And then everybody was going crazy at the Vienna Inn in Vienna, Virginia. They were going nuts. The Vienna Inn, by the way, Marty, the owner of the Vienna Inn, I'm giving you a free plug. Vienna Inn's been out there for, what, 40 years? It was the last place in Northern Virginia you could buy a beer for less than a dollar. I love the Inn. I could eat three meals a day there. But I got to tell you, I also watched two shots go in. It was almost like we threw them both in to make it 3-1 and the game was over. I mean, you know, it was tough.
No shots on goal. 32 total shots. through both teams.
Good defense or bad offense?
Great defense. I think that
you don't think it's bad offense.
No, both of these teams have stars in as forwards.
Where are the cap stars? Where are they?
Ovechkin showed up. Mike Knuble, who I don't know if you want to call him a star anymore, but
I like Knuble.
He's a leader on that team, and
I like
he
the
showed
way he
up.
Spells his name.
Semin showed up. I mean, the Capitals showed up. Don't take this 3-1 victory as the Caps not showing up. The Caps showed up. The Rangers showed up. I mean, this is going to be a hard hitting hockey series, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to go 7 games. I mean, and when you get to 7, then you got a 50-50 chance. It's going to be a toss up, and that's exactly what this series is going to do. These teams have met before in the playoffs, and it always goes hard. They always go hard at each other. These two teams don't like each other. It's always a hard hitting battle. It's always in the past it hasn't really been a defensive battle, but the Caps have always been a hitting team. I mean, their star, this is no Sidney Crosby.
Do you think they have to win the next game?
Capitals,
the Caps?
Yes, the Capitals have to
if
take
one. If they lose the next game,
Madison
is it
Square.
Over? Is
no,
it over?
It's not. It's okay. Never over. Okay. It's never over, but if they want to have a legitimate shot at winning this series and then they're going to have to take the next game. They're going to have to take tomorrow's game.
Do you know who's the biggest Ranger fan that I know? Linda Cohn. Linda Cohn is all over Twitter with the Rangers. She is the biggest Rangers groupie I've ever met, and she's not a groupie. I meant that in a nice way. I'm trying to get a bet with Linda, trying to bet dinner, and I want to eat a Peter Luger's if the Caps win. She can eat anywhere in D.C. she wants, and I'm buying. And I can't, for some reason, I'm trying to get through to a buddy of mine that works with him, and I can't get her to tweet me back or call me or anything. I love her hair. I love what she's done with her hair.
I love her hair.
And I'm not,
I love her hair.
I'm not stalking her, but she talks so much smack about the Rangers. About the Rangers. Now, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
The other series, are the Knicks done?
Yeah.
After losing.
The Knicks are done.
Oh, you think they're done?
They were done when they drew the Heat.
You know what? I picked the Knicks to lose in 7. I'm beginning to think that should be 5 or 6.
As soon as I'm sorry, New York, but as soon as you drew Miami, you were done. If they were playing Chicago, if the Knicks were playing Chicago, I would have them in a fighter's chance. They would have a legitimate shot of taking down Chicago, especially now since Derrick Rose tears his ACL. He is the key to this NBA playoffs, Derrick Rose.
Now, Chicago,
he's out. He's
are they
done?
Are they done, Chicago? Are they done?
They're a very good defensive basketball team, and they're playing the Sixers, who are shaky.
Like Oklahoma City.
Oh.
You still like Oklahoma City?
Oh, yeah, they're my West team.
Okay, they're your West team. Who's your East team?
The Heat.
You like Miami?
It's been the Heat. I said it was going to be Thunder.
Well, they look
Heat.
Like the team now. They look like the team right now after 33-point drubbing of the Knicks.
Well,
that was ugly.
Chris Bosh, LeBron James, and Dwayne Wade. These three guys are stars, and to get them to play in a shortened season when you're playing sometimes 4 games in a row, to keep them motivated when they know they're the best team in the NBA. They might not show it every night, but that is the best team in the NBA. They were the best team in the NBA last season. They just didn't play together. And now they have a whole year under the belts.
Who are your surprise teams? Does Dallas have a chance?
I mean, they're the champs. They always have a chance. They've been there, but no.
San Antonio, no chance.
San Antonio, I think it'll be, you know, they have the experience. They have the stars. They're getting older. But I think OKC runs away with the West. The Lakers, if you want a surprise team, look at the Lakers, because don't ever sleep on Kobe Bryant.
All right, listen, it's been a great show. Roy, happy birthday, buddy. Happy 26.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Bruce Hall's Second Opinion on AM 1230 WFAS.